This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Diversifying the Federal Reserve.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. President Obama has nominated Alan Landon to fill one of two vacancies on the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors. Landon is the former CEO of the Bank of Hawaii, and that makes him a community banker. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour explains the significance of the president's pick.
Right now, there are three economists and two lawyers on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors and two empty seats. The president has faced pressure from politicians to mix it up, add someone with experience in the banking system, and specifically the community banking system, as in small banks.
Small banks are affected by financial regulation differently than large banks.
Philip Swagel teaches at the University of Maryland. Community banks lend to different people and lend locally.
The whole apparatus of Dodd-Frank and the regulatory system that we have now, it can be very onerous for small banks.
Frederick Mishkin is a former Federal Reserve governor and now teaches at Columbia.
When we've had community bankers on the Federal Reserve Board, they have played a positive role.
But the idea of the community banker on the Fed board has become somewhat politicized. Conservatives say they'll fight regulation. Liberals say they'll buffer against favoritism towards big banks.
We should not have a litmus test to saying that because a person's a community banker, they're qualified.
It's going to be a big year for anyone sitting on the Fed board. The Fed is expected to raise interest rates for the first time in 9 years. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
When it comes to regulating payday loans, rules vary state by state. The only federal regulations are for members of the U.S. military. And in a new report, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says even those rules aren't working. The CFPB says the payday loan industry needs reform. Sally Herships has more.
There are more places to take out a payday loan than McDonald's in the U.S. But just because you can afford a Big Mac doesn't mean you can handle a high interest rate. Rates for payday loans can be as high as 600%.
We think that all responsible lending requires looking at consumers' ability to pay.
Lauren Saunders is with the National Consumer Law Center. She says, ideally, lenders would work with borrowers who can afford to repay their loans. That's one rule the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau could put in place. But according to the CFPB, the payday loan industry is good at finding loopholes. Tom Feltner is with the Consumer Federation of America. He says the Department of Defense tried to put a 36% cap on interest rates, but
what we saw was lenders changed terms and conditions to get around those rules.
Feltner says the DOD is now looking at new ways to strengthen its regulations. But when it comes to loans for civilians, only Congress and the states can cap interest rates. Still, if the CFPB implements federal rules, there could be more protections in place for all consumers. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
People from around the country swear some of the most delicious scallops come from the state of Maine. They're incredibly fresh, even though Maine represents just a small part of the whole sea scallop industry in the United States. This year, Maine bivalves are going for big bucks. Caroline Losnack reports.
Scallop season in Maine runs for only 70 days during the frigid winter months. Here, almost all scallops are harvested on boats that go out and come back on the same day. Their catch is called dayboat scallops. They're plump and firm and should have, there's really only one way to say this, still twitching adductor muscles.
A fresh scallop always moves. The muscles kind of quiver when you first cut them, yeah. And you can eat them raw very easily.
That's Rod Brown Mitchell. He owns Brown Trading Company, a seafood business in Portland, Maine. He says fewer than 1% of Maine scallops stay in state. Most dayboat scallops he buys are shipped within 24 hours of being landed to some pretty fancy out-of-state places.
Like in New York, like La Bernardin or Danielle or French Laundry.
But this year, Maine dayboat scallops won't stay on menus for long. 5 years ago, the state implemented new catch limits to protect the valuable fishery after stocks reached historic lows. The fishermen who operate Maine's 400 dayboats say they'll probably exhaust quotas by late January, well before the season officially ends. And that means they're getting a big payday. I'm with Tobe Braun. She owns Maine Dayboat Scallops, and she's with fisherman Obi Spear. His boat just landed with what he calls white gold. They pour scallops out of 3 5-gallon buckets, the daily catch limit, to weigh them.
83.5 times 15, 1,252.
So for Obi Spear's 83 pounds of scallops today, he gets a check for $1,252. Maine's Department of Marine Resources says in the past 5 years, prices paid to fishermen have increased each year, hitting an all-time high of $15 a pound this season. And Obi Spear's white gold? Tobe Braun ships those scallops to people like Chef Andrew Gerson at Brooklyn Brewery. He says Maine dayboat scallops are...
Almost like candy. I mean, there's this real level of sweetness that I think offsets the salinity.
Chef Gerson willingly pays between $20 and $28 a pound, and his customers don't seem to mind. For some things, the price is worth it. In Portland, Maine, I'm Caroline Losnick for Marketplace.
Finally, this guy was arrested last week in Framingham, Massachusetts. He hadn't paid $450 in court costs. He said he didn't have enough money to post bail, so the judge told him to, quote, be creative. The man offered to give the judge a pair of Nike sneakers he'd received as a Christmas gift valued at around $85, according to Framingham's Metro West Daily News. And the judge agreed. The guy can get them back if he pays $100 in weekly installments or if he does 10 hours of community service. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.